This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Public universities have often been seen as the most affordable option for students going for that four-year degree.
Recent trends in financial aid distribution, though, have made public schools less affordable for the neediest students. A new investigative report from ProPublica shows that public colleges have actually been shifting financial aid toward wealthier students. The goal, I guess, boosting numbers like average SAT scores and GPA.
Well, here with us to explain the trends is ProPublica reporter Marian Wang. She covers higher education. Marian, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So tell us, let's start with this. What is financial aid at universities designed to do?
Well, so from the federal level, the perspective on financial aid has always been to help the neediest students, students who are going to have a hard time financing a college education. And granted, the mix of that at the federal level has shifted from being, you know, grants to more and more loans. But it's always been about, you know, what does the student actually need? And, you know, one thing I'll point out is the National Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators, I just looked this up, they say that the purpose of student financial aid is to ensure that everyone has equal access to post-secondary education. And they stress that need-based aid should be primary in that.
And that seems to be changing then, in at least how colleges are choosing public colleges to distribute their aid. Tell us about this new trend that you're seeing.
Absolutely. That is increasingly not what we're seeing happen at institutions. So privates have long sort of taken this and run with it and taken financial aid and sort of started using it more strategically. What we're seeing now is that more and more public institutions are also adopting the same mentality when it comes to financial aid. And they're thinking about it much more as a recruitment tool to sort of incentivize certain students to get them to come. And whether it's out-of-state students or especially high-scoring students, it's looked at as sort of an inducement for particular students to come and often sort of labeled as merit aid. And that's increasingly that practice of what the industry calls financial aid leveraging, sort of a funny term. But it's that sort of mentality, using it less for looking at it, financial aid, less about with the approach of what does a student need in order to get to our institution, and more in terms of how can the institution use its financial aid resources to get the students that it needs.
Now, how do the universities that are doing this, how do they justify it? I mean, is it just because the payoff of looking good on the books is more important so that they'll attract, you know, I guess, brighter students and be more prestigious on the national scene? Is that why it's justified?
Absolutely. That's one big argument that, you know, we help our states more and we help residents of the state when we become a more prominent university, when we become national, we raise the profile of the institution, we bring, you know, economic development to the area. That sort of argument is definitely made. As well, there are definitely revenue pressures on these institutions. So some institutions are looking toward out-of-state students in particular to bring in more revenue, because out-of-state students sometimes pay 2 to 3 times the, you know, in-state rate. And so even if you give a merit grant to a, you know, academically pretty good sort of out-of-state student, maybe not the best student that you enroll, but, you know, will bring in some money with very limited expenditures in terms of grant aid, you know, a $2,000, $3,000 scholarship, if that will get that student in the door, net revenue, they're bringing in a lot of net revenue.
So are public universities struggling with finances themselves? Is that part of this too, or is it more the prestige factor?
You know, it depends on the institution, but definitely across the board, you've seen publics in the last 5 years suffer pretty steep cuts in state support. And so that's definitely one component of this particular trend. And then prestige is always a factor. You know, actually, even Becky Blank, I think, chancellor of UW-Madison, recently said something at a Regents meeting, I believe, that essentially said she saw moving Madison up in the rankings as one of her primary responsibilities. So prestige is definitely a definite priority that a lot of these institutions have, and they're getting pressure from boards and from their leadership to sort of have that sort of concrete marker. Rankings are incredibly important to these institutions.
I want to see if we can put a face on this at all. You tell the story of a student who seems to have done all the right things, and yet she doesn't get the financial aid she needs. Tell us about some of the people who are being affected by this.
Yeah, so we profiled a student who lives in Pennsylvania. She's fairly low income, lives in subsidized housing, and it's exactly as you say. She went to a public school in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia's school district, if you know anything about it right now, is not doing well financially. Her school was actually closed after she left. And she did all the right things, worked really hard in high school, and applied to three state colleges, got accepted to three state colleges. And yet, when she got her financial aid package, she didn't have anything there for her from the institution. She got federal need-based aid, state need-based aid. But as of a couple years ago, those things plus federal student loans, the most you can take out in federal student loans, in fact, those things stopped paying for even the most affordable public colleges in Pennsylvania. And so you have this gap that's only growing as college costs rise. And when institutions aren't putting their financial aid resources to help bridge that gap for these students whose families actually have no ability to really comfortably borrow or pitch in, you have the federal formula for financial aid saying that this family actually does not have the resources to contribute to, it's called the EFC, expected family contribution, and her EFC was zero, and yet these schools are spending their financial aid dollars on different students.
Well, so what happens to someone like that? Does she end up at community college?
Well, increasingly, if you look at the numbers sort of systemically, you see low-income students with federal Pell Grants. That's sort of the common measure or proxy for low-income. You see these students with Pell Grants, a smaller and smaller portion of them are going to four-year institutions in the private sector as well as the public sector. And you see a growing proportion of them being served by community colleges and by for-profit schools, frankly. And that was absolutely the case with her. She ended up looking at these financial aid packages, realizing she couldn't make it work, or it would be very risky for her to try to make it work in terms of taking on that amount of debt. And she ended up going to a community college. And that community college, community colleges in our society are asked to do a lot, but they don't offer a ton of support for some of these students that are on the margins. And that community college, first-year full-time students, only half of them return for the second year. So it's definitely, when you go to a school that is less selective than the school that you could have gone to, the most selective option you had, there's a overwhelming body of research that shows that these students are sort of lowering their chances of graduating.
So, Marian, if this continues and we see more of the financial aid going to wealthier students and lower income students, who I imagine are some students who come from more diverse backgrounds, what do you see as the long range picture here, and what it will reflect in society about earning potentials and who is in there contributing and living their lives to the fullest?
I think that's a really good question you raise, and very troubling. Absolutely, you're right about the demographic shifts of this country changing. Even a couple weeks ago, or maybe even last week, it was the College Board put out a report showing that, a large proportion of the students that take the SAT, they consider not to be college ready. And so that's definitely, and yet if schools, including public institutions, are going hard recruiting, spending money, trying to, giving out merit scholarships to these students, this limited pool of students who they consider to be college ready and will lift their scores, who is going to be serving those students who are on the other end of the spectrum or who might have more difficulty paying? Family income is often extremely correlated with standardized test scores and that sort of metric. So when you have schools focusing on certain priorities over and not prioritizing or keeping on the table this question of access to higher education, I think it has some troubling implications. And definitely you see more students being funneled sort of toward these community colleges that are going to need more support.
Well, Marion, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
We've been talking to Marion Wang, reporter at ProPublica, covering higher education. And you can read more about that on the Central Time Facebook page. And by the way, stop by, tell us what you think. And are you concerned about the trend of financial aid going to wealthier students instead of traditionally it had gone to the students with the greatest need? What do you think about that trend? And are you concerned about it for your own family?